Okay. So right now we have Bill, Nancy, and Alan, right? Nobody else? Anybody else?
Yeah, Tom is here.
Hi, Tom. Okay. Well, I just put one item there. Does anybody else want to propose something else?
Well,
no, go ahead. Go ahead, Alan.
There was a question of whether the local station board should be open to observers to watch what goes on and to hear what goes on. And I think there's also always the question of should the observers be able to offer comments. Are we going to have public comments as well as public observation? Two separate questions.
We have to have public comment. It's in the bylaws. Even committees have to have public comment.
You know, one of the things that's been bothering me for the last several years, we haven't had an in-person PNB meeting in, what, 5 or 6 years? We always used to have public comment there every day, even if we'd have a 3 or 4 day meeting. We haven't had any public comment the whole time since we started doing that. And I think that is in violation of the bylaws, and that's probably a lot more serious than whatever we're talking about with the LSBs. And I know the discussion Wednesday about, like, video, you know, recording or whatever, that should apply to the PNB even more so than LSBs. It just seems really strange that we're having one rule for, you know, that's for the LSBs that doesn't matter as much, and a different rule for the PNB.
No, I didn't. I don't think that's what the committee wants. I think.
I just think we should be consistent, whatever the rule is.
Well, the chair was saying there's nothing wrong with the PNB being filmed. I mean, that's happened before.
But it's not.
I saw.
But the public can't join in. See.
Well, they can join in if it's a Zoom.
The PNB meetings that are Zoomed are recorded. Both the open and the closed. The open ones are supposed to be open to the recordings are supposed to be open to the public. The closed recordings are not, is my understanding.
Yeah, audio only. I'm just saying if video is important for the LSBs, it should be important even more so for the PNB. I just think it's strange that there's this inconsistency.
Well, we just started doing Zoom, and I don't think anything's wrong with a video of the PNB being posted. But the only thing I'm thinking of, it's a more expensive Zoom account if you're going to have lots and lots of people. The more people we have, the more expensive the account is. I don't know if the need for a bigger account or the money that would be needed.
Well, that would apply to LSBs the same. And I'm still wondering about the public comment aspect of the PNB.
I'm all for it. I mean, you want to write a motion, Bill? I mean, because nobody was objecting to that at that Wednesday night meeting for public comment. No, for videoing. That's right. We didn't talk about public comment. Okay, Bill, that's your homework.
I don't want to make a bylaws amendment for that. I don't think it should be a bylaws amendment.
No. A resolution. At least we get it started and see how, you know, we don't know a lot of factors, like how much it's going to cost or where are we going to put it? Like, are we going to put it on the...
Well, I guess that would be for the next regular meeting of the committee.
YouTube.
That's not,
We have a YouTube channel. We could post all the recordings of the Zooms on the YouTube channel. And it would be nice to have public comment, too, for the PNB, and then they'd hear their comment on the YouTube channel. I think that's good. But I just don't know about the expense, how that works. Okay.
This is Beth checking in.
Hi, Beth. Oh, hi, Beth. Okay.
Hi.
Can you stay with us a long time, or you're flying away?
I think I can stay the whole time. It took a bit.
Oh, really?
To get here, but, yeah.
Okay, Janine was trying to use a doodle poll and find out from people, but only one person responded the last time she did it, and I don't know if she sent out another one or not, because I think James was saying, well, let's do by – oh, I can't remember what happened. Let's do by email. Anyway, I want to ask this group, Bill, Nancy, Alan Beek, Tom Voorhees, and Beth. Do y'all like Wednesday night or Friday night better?
Which Wednesday night?
Friday's better for
me. I mean, for the task force. For the task force.
Either the second or third Wednesday of each month gets really busy for our LSB out here. Yeah, for our committee out here.
It'd be the first.
KPFK.
Yeah,
the first. Okay. Then that's not a problem. That's not a problem.
How about Bill, Tom, Alan, first Wednesday?
Wednesday is better than Friday for Tom.
Okay. Well,
Friday's better for me. There's too many other conflicts with other things on Wednesdays.
Just so it doesn't conflict with Wednesday before the LSB, because then's when the KPFK governance has to meet.
Okay. KPFK governance is on the first Wednesday?
No, it's on the
first Wednesday. On the Wednesday before the LSB meeting, and the LSB meeting is generally the third Sunday.
Okay. We're talking about the first Wednesday of the month. And then Bill was saying he likes Friday instead of, is that right, Bill?
In general. There's just too many other conflicts. And I know we've had, you know, even just our local committee meetings, we've had to sometimes juggle to find days. And wondering where we can move something to a Friday, it's probably better because there's fewer conflicts. It's pretty
okay.
More time
so
for
we,
other
meetings. I have Tom, you go ahead.
Yeah, I guess I'm looking at the same factors and weighing them differently that I have a hard time finding any one day of the week, most weeks, when I don't have a meeting. So I'm trying to eke out some day, one day, a couple days, like weekends is good, when I have the end of my days free so I can go run errands, for instance, or just do the rest of life. So
okay.
I like clustering them in the business week.
We have Wednesday, the first Wednesday marked through the calendar, and then we're trying to find out the people who are interested in this, which day is good. So we have Tom Wednesday, Beth Wednesday. Alan, which is good for you? First Wednesday
Any Wednesday, so it's not the one before the KPFK LSB.
Okay, it's not. It's the first Wednesday, and we're talking about, and KPFK meets the third Sunday, so it's probably your governance is probably the third Wednesday. I bet it was last
somewhere
week.
Around there.
Depends on
what day of the month, what day of the week the month starts.
Right.
But somewhere around the 16th or 17th is generally when there's a governance meeting.
Okay. Well, I'm either way, Friday, Wednesday.
The first Wednesday would be fine with me.
Okay.
We're talking about this subcommittee, Nancy, is that right?
The task force.
I mean, okay, whatever it is, okay.
Because the governance committee meeting is the fourth Wednesday of the month, so that's already, we're not talking about that. We're talking about this task force.
Just for example, I'm just looking at the KPFTF's calendar for June, first Wednesday. Had this task force, WPFW Program Committee, and the Coordinating Committee. And that seems to be kind of typical. We're having like two or three committees almost every day except for Fridays.
The task force may do most of its work by email. It's not necessary to have a fixed meeting time.
That would probably be better. I agree with that. Because, it's the situation we've got now. We only have, a third or so of the committee here. And frankly, I think I'm going to leave because we still don't have an agenda and no chair or secretary, and I've got other things to do, and it's,
Well, I was just speaking of the task force.
Yeah.
It can do its work largely by email. And
yeah, I agree.
That's the virtue of a task force. You don't have to have all that fooling around with electing officers and deciding who is a legal member. Just those who want to work are there, and those who don't want to work aren't there.
Yeah, and last meeting, the last task force, James Sagerton said both are good, but work by email and he wants something in person. He wants to hear people's voices, how they, you know, when we discuss things. Okay, I would like to go ask.
This is James, Nancy.
Oh, James came. Okay, James,
yeah,
no. Which is better for you, Friday?
James came before you got here, Nancy, just so you know.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I've just been listening. But I did announce myself. I guess you didn't hear me. Yeah, I did say Wednesdays. The first Wednesday was okay with me, and Friday was also okay with me. I sympathize with everyone speaking about the usual Monday through Thursday schedules where we have our other meetings usually. I know some LSBs meet over the weekend, but at WBI we do LSBs and Finance Committee on Wednesdays, and if the Wednesday that we normally do it, which would be third or second, mm-hmm. is sometimes bumped because of, you know, holiday or some other reason, and then we tend to go to Wednesday, you know, a different, maybe first Wednesday or fourth Wednesday, and so I kind of generally agree with the idea that Wednesdays are more complicated for me. But I'm willing to go with the consensus, and I'll just not be here when you know, I can't, that's all.
When you have a finance or something like that, I see.
Okay. Yeah, or for example, like now we're under the gun for the audits, and we have a lot of things that need to be cleaned up, and so, yeah, things of that sort, yeah.
I find
this
it very
Bill,
strange as the
what,
audit.
I'm going to leave. I've got other things I need to do, and it doesn't look like we're going to have a real meeting. But if you want to continue this by email, like Alan's suggesting, I think that's probably better, and we may get more participation that way. So, okay. But thank you all.
Okay, bye Bill.
Nancy, this is James. Bill?
James?
May I ask a question? I know. I think you said you don't know if she sent one out, but I looked for a doodle poll. I found the first one, but, of course, it was over, so I couldn't access it, and I couldn't get into it, and I never saw a second one. Did a second one go out?
That I don't know, because she was asking, she was offering to do that, and then you said, well, you'd like to have things in, what was it? Was it, I forgot what was said. Something about, I don't remember what we agreed on. I thought maybe she was going to do another doodle.
That's okay. We don't have to analyze it. I just was curious if I missed it again, because I missed the first one until I found it afterwards when it was too late.
I did not see a second one. Okay.
Thank you.
So I would like to ask people, I did put one little item on. If somebody else wants to do something more urgent, spit it out now, please. Okay, I made an item that in case there is, and it could go either way, a really good manager, but the majority of the LSB wants to get rid of them. So a minority report is really important at that time for a better judgment. And then a very incapable GM may be supported by a majority of an LSB. And so a minority report would be good to be able to have, and I mean not just a opinion report, I mean evaluation points, evidence, you know, included, just like any evaluation should have, and sent to the IED or ED. And if the IED agrees with the minority report, and I hesitate to leave it just there. I think it needs the PMB majority to also agree. If all three parties agree, then I think it will have a strong statement to say, okay, you got to fix this, fix that, or you're out, or you need to go, or and need to go entails maybe lawsuits. So, but it will have some kind of pressure, I think. Anyway, how does people feel? Because I feel sorry for, I've been in that position. I was not in the majority of the board, and they were supporting a manager that I thought was really, you know, not good. And we never thought to do a minority report, and would it make any difference? And if we did, how shall we do it?
This is James.
Yes, James.
This is James.
I think minority reports are, generally speaking, always in order. I just think that perhaps allowing the ED to agree with a minority report does away with the check or balance, if you will, of having it be where if the LSB and the ED don't agree, then it goes to the PNB. I think that's the current system, and making it so any minority report, it could be a minority of one, I assume, if the ED agreed with that, they could bypass going to the PNB. I'm not sure that's a good idea. It's a good, I like the check and balance the way we have it.
Okay. To be approved, say the ED and the minority LSB agree, then the PNB could take a look at it and decide they agree with it or they don't agree. How would you feel?
No, that occurs already, Nancy, without even having a minority report, which, again, I say, I think a minority report is generally always in order. If people on a management evaluation committee have, there's a majority opinion, if there's a minority opinion, I think that can be put forward. That was done at WBAI in our last management evaluation report. There was some question about whether it was official or not, but it was out there. But the idea is if there's a minority report that the ED wants to agree with, and that can result in firing a GM before it go, or a PD before it goes to the PNB, the whole point of if there's a stalemate between the ED and the LSB is to send it to the PNB. And then what you're saying is, well, if there's a minority report, then it could go to the PNB, but that's where it would go anyway, if there's a disagreement between the ED and the LSB.
Well, not necessarily. A LSB majority LSB majority, say they want to get rid of a manager, an LSB majority, and the ED agrees. Okay, well, that's simple. That's simple to understand. But if it's a minority that wants to get rid of a GM, but the IED agrees with it, that's with the minority report.
But then that means that the LSB majority and the ED are disagreeing, and that's where the current bylaws send it to the PNB.
Oh, yeah, so it ends up the same way. So
that's
there's no difference.
Say.
Yeah, there's no difference here. Is there?
The bylaws, I don't believe, allow for it to begin with the executive director. It can only begin with a local board.
Well, either way, Alan, I mean, I looked it up, and it says either way. The ED can start it, and the LSB can start a procedure. Let me see. I'm trying to find it. Y'all go ahead and talk. I'll go look for it. So minority report of goes to the ED and says, okay, and she agrees with the minority. But it's not the what's... So if the ED agrees with a minority report... Then I mean, she's not agreeing with the majority report. Okay.
Right.
I see what you mean. It goes all the way. Okay. So I've never seen a minority, but you said there was one recently. A minority report went out.
If you're asking me, yeah, at WBAI, there was a minority report that came out of the Management Evaluation Committee. They were evaluating the GM at the time. But again, I don't know if it was. I don't know if it was ever accepted as an official minority report, but it was definitely out there. You know, it could be that we need to tweak the bylaws to say that a minority report is allowed from a evaluation committee.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that could be a reservation. Yes, Beth, go ahead.
I took part
and
in
speak,
a personnel
speak loudly.
Sorry, I took part
Speak
in
loudly, yeah.
in a personnel event. I was talking to the phone instead of to the microphone.
Well, Alan has a trouble hearing and a poor connection, so it would help if we have speak loudly. That's why
I understand. So last year, I took part in a personnel evaluation process at KPFK, and at the end of the process, I drafted my own minority report and submitted it, and it was accepted, but no one on the committee seems to know exactly what happened to either of the reports. I had assumed that they went to the executive director, but honestly, once we finished the reports, that's the last I heard of it, and my report was evidently not, didn't hold much sway when it came to execution, shall we say.
I'm really this is a subject that was brought up and touched on briefly, and I would like to see it pursued further, that if an employee has a definite work description that they're supposed to do, then you can make a formal procedure out of saying, no, he doesn't do his work, and therefore we can have a hearing and call in evidence and make a decision that we're going to separate him or not. But if there is no defined job for the employee, suppose people just think that this employee is the wrong one for the job, we ought to get somebody better. This guy isn't very good. We don't have any formal procedure for that. And I think that is a real problem that should be addressed. We should decide what we're going to do in that case.
At KPFK, do y'all have a job description of the GM?
Yes, we do.
I saw one time. Yeah, you have a very elaborate one. It's more elaborate than KPFT's.
We just recently redrafted it, ahead of we're in the middle of a GM search process right now. And so we revised and updated it before we began that so that people would know what it was we were asking them to do.
Did you pass it in your LSB, that job description, redrafted job description?
Good question. I think we must have. There was so much going on. That committee ran at a really marathon race rate to get through, trying to get the process finished before both the LSB elections and the bylaws amendment process. We'd hoped to get that to wrap up ahead of all of that, so we didn't have too much. So I don't honestly remember. I do remember going to Michael Novick was the one who shepherded that process, and he can tell you what was the fate of that stage of the process. But
like
in my memory,
the committee I think the committee should look at it.
Yeah,
I mean, all the different stations should look at it. I'd like to compare it with ours and see if we can take good things y'all did to it.
If we had a central archive, then we could compile all the different job descriptions from all the different stations, and we could use it as a resource when we need to revise or update job descriptions as jobs evolve.
Well, anyway, I'd like to see what y'all did. Okay. All right. And phrasing in the minority report, that it's encouraged. That's not in the bylaws, and I guess it would be nice to put. Not less. Anyway, about bylaws, I don't think we're ready to jump in and put that in the bylaws, but I don't think it would hurt, would it? Just encourage. It doesn't mean you have to do it. or keep it in a resolution. Okay.
I think right now there's nothing to prevent the submission of a of a minority report. It's a pretty standard practice where reports are submitted from committees because, you know, opinions vary. Unless there were something to prevent or forbid I don't think it's a problem. And I think rather than spell it, especially if it wasn't something we were going to require, I think the bylaws are already too long and complicated, and we'd do a greater service to try to simplify and clarify than to try to put more things in that were just turned out to be suggestions.
This is James for the staff.
Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I generally agree with Beth, and I just want to suggest, although I realize this could be an ephemeral practice that would disappear in time, but if people want to do a minority report, as I said, we did in WBAI, I think the best practice to guarantee that that option was available would be to put it in the authorizing resolution that, you know, we're setting up a management evaluation committee to evaluate the PD, the GM, whatever, and a minority report, if available, will be reviewed or will be accepted or whatever. Just put it in the authorizing motion. But I know a year or two or three from now, people will never know we had this conversation, and that may be forgotten. That idea may be forgotten.
Yeah, good idea. And we put it in the resolution.
This is Beth again. Maybe a halfway point or compromise would be to draft a policy so that it would be a standing policy, and it wouldn't be dependent on each new committee to remember that they should include a clause like that. But it also wouldn't carry the weight of law that bylaws do, and it wouldn't be as complicated to change. We would have a freer hand in being able to update and revise and refine it as we learn from experience. I would suggest the proper place for something like that would be in a policy, so that whenever anybody needs to stand up a job evaluation or a performance evaluation committee, they can turn to that policy to see what's entailed. And
I didn't catch that. You said you thought the proper place for that would be where?
As a policy, a standing policy.
A standing policy.
Yes. That could then be applied to any committee that needs to be stood up for performance evaluation. So that all our performance evaluation committees were working to a single standard, a common standard, and we would have one source to go to for guidance. One consistent
standard. This is James. James for the staff.
Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I want to agree with Beth. I think she has the right idea. I think that policies are normally set by the PNB by means of resolution, and that just underscores the need that we have to get all of our policies and all of our resolutions from the PNB organized in a way and stored in a place where everybody can have access to it, and that's another thing the Governance Committee is working on. So this kind of fits hand in glove with that. And I think it's a good approach. And by the way,
is that agreeing?
It brings up, let me just say one final thing. It deals with the problem when I said it could be forgotten by the next two or three boards. That's the problem with our policies. Even when we pass a resolution on the PMB, it goes by the wayside because nobody remembers it. And we don't have it somewhere where there's easy access to them. Thank you.
Who's that making that point, agreeing with Beth?
That was James.
That was
Alan.
James.
Thank you.
So we don't have a list of policy. We just have resolutions and bylaws. And so if we make it a resolution, is there a problem with the, you know, like a lawsuit, or can that be used? Does that have so much weight? It'd be safer to make it a policy rather than a resolution, or
that's how we get policies. That's how we get policies, Nancy. We pass a resolution, and that becomes a policy.
Okay. So, Beth, are you for a resolution that becomes a policy later on?
Yes, I think we could. We should work on drafting a policy, and then once we get something close to what we want, we can make a motion and vote on it, and move that motion then to the PND, where they would also vote on it. And if it passes, then it's a resolution. And if it's in the form of a policy, then it becomes that policy. Be it resolved that it is the policy of Pacifica to conduct our performance evaluations in the following manner, and then it could list the various stipulations, the various guidelines.
Okay, do you want to keep that as a whole?
I believe we have a thing called a policy manual, but I don't know how to find it or who is responsible for maintaining it or providing copies.
Really? Wow. Does anybody else know about this policy manual? This is the first time I heard it.
I've seen, this is Beth, I've seen several different manuals that I don't remember if they were called policy manuals, but essentially they contained policies, like the employee's manual. Those all list policies that the employees are expected to adhere to. We could use a few more manuals like that, policy manual. There should be a board policy manual, too, so that it's all laid out that board members are expected to do thus and thus and not to do that and that, and that we need to have on file, you know, confidentiality agreements and teleconferencing consent agreements, and So that it's all in one place and it doesn't get lost in the shuffle, and everybody's, you know, then we know whether we're in compliance or not.
James, for the fact.
It raises the question of should it be on the website so anybody can look it up for themselves at any time.
Oh, yeah, James was saying.
Yes.
Go ahead, James.
Yes, I agree with Alan's idea. It should be on the website and easily available to everyone. And I just wanted to also suggest that the way to have a policy handbook, frequently policy handbooks or employee handbooks, don't have footnotes. They don't have references or links. And if you, I don't know why, but I'm getting an echo.
I hear that too,
yeah. Yeah. I don't think I'm doing anything to cause it. But I'll try and talk maybe a little more quietly. Maybe that was causing it. But it would be good if thank you, Nancy. You put a footnote, and, you know, the footnote can be a link, and that can show where it was passed and what it's based on, you know, what the authorization for it is. And then if it changes, you adjust the footnote and or the policy, and it's done in an orderly way, and the policies are handed down from PNB to PNB.
Sounds good.
That would provide a really good function for the governance committee to keep that thing straight and available and meaningful all the way and consistent.
You mean the policy? The policy?
Yeah, the policies can get terribly messed up if you aren't very careful about the way you write them. I think we have a policy about the LSB subcommittees that was adopted by the LSB in 2016, and once in a while somebody quotes it, but nobody wants to use it. Well, it should be arranged more systematically than that. If you're going to have it, you should know where it is and know that everybody knows it's there and can refer to it and use it.
This is James.
Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I agree with Alan once again, although I might suggest that initially, if we were going to bite off something to chew to make it a little more bite-sized, shall we say, we could start with the PNB and do this, and perhaps that could then serve as a template for the LSBs to do the same, or they could do it simultaneously if they're up to it. But I also wanted to ask Beth a question. I know she's had training in being a board member for other purposes than Pacifica's, mm-hmm. but is the what we're describing now a system of policies together in some format, be it a printed handbook or a online site with footnotes and references back to authorizing resolutions and updated when the resolutions are changed, or you know, when the policy is changed by further resolution? Is that sounds like it might be a standard accepted kind of a way to approach these things for a complicated organization with complex bylaws and large memberships?
Yes, it is. That's a very standard operating procedure for organizations such as ours, because otherwise you suffer our fate when if we have worked so hard to produce so many different policies that are now just lost to the mists, you know. The process you describe would address all that, would solve all that, the disorder, and make things more available to all of us. So, yes, it is a standard practice in most other large organizations like ours. And I would recommend it.
Okay. Folks, I forgot to ask Otis to start recording, so I just sent him a text, and it says archive after the meeting when I look at kpfdx.org. I'm sorry, I could have lost my concentration while James was talking, and but starting initially with the PNB serve as a template, and then I didn't hear everything. I'm writing notes. Let me go away and call Otis, see if he's knows what he's doing. I mean, if it's already started recording or not. So I'll be back. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy.
Dear Otis.
Oh, without Nancy, we have nothing to say. Is that it? Alan, are we speaking? Alan, can you hear what we're saying more recently in the call?
I think I caught the latest, yeah.
Good.
Of course, what I write down will be mostly my own ideas and not what I heard.
Of course. That's how we brainstorm, as they say.
I think if we exchange them around by email, people will correct the things I get really wrong, and pretty soon we'll converge on something that we all agree on.
That'll be
it. May take a while.
Well, I'm new enough to this task force that I really hadn't planned on doing anything much more than listening, at least initially, because I figure the what has been a subcommittee and is now the task force probably had been working on, you know, your agenda for the year to this point, and I'm not sure where you all what you've been doing and where you're headed, and so I'm prepared to take my lead from all of you for now, till I get caught up.
Well, the idea that I heard about the task forces is that you have a separate task force for each individual item that you are trying to figure out what to do about it, and they will exchange emails within themselves, and after they have finally come to something they pretty well agree on, they'll then submit it to the entire committee.
This is Nancy. Otis says it automatically has been recording if it's Maestro, and we are using Maestro, so we don't have to worry. Good. We didn't lose anything. Thank you.
Good. Good to hear.
Yeah, and he said, KPFD does not have enough candidates. Hurry up, we need 20 candidates. You know, we only have around 5, I think.
Oh, boy.
How far did you get a lot of other
I'd like to speak in response to what Alan just said.
Okay, thank you.
Alan just made me think of something about when he said, you know, each task force is a separate task force to discuss what it is that you are trying to do. And he reminded me, we are the bylaws amendment task force. And what we were just talking about was more of a policy handbook akin to, you know, or possibly a part of, an employee handbook, or an employee handbook could be a chapter or a separately printable aspect of the policy handbook. But that is something that the governance committee as a whole has been talking about. And I think Eileen Rosen was beginning to work on it. She did some research and, you know, found some, you know, instead of us always reinventing the wheel, she found what other organizations do and got some input on that. And so actually that's probably not something we need to talk about much further, except to maybe make up those notes or, you know, pass that on to the people who are talking about a policy handbook rather than continue to dwell on it in the bylaws amendment subcommittee or task force.
Well, there are things that can be, I mean, we can do like so many minutes for bylaws and so many minutes for policies, and we could do that. I really would like to see the manual on fundraising or events. And Adriana Casanova, she was on the PNB, she said there is such a manual. And she said, and our business manager should have it. So I asked the business manager, hey, you've got this. I want to see the manual that conducts fundraisers, because I had a bad experience with a KPFD fundraiser. I want to do better the next time. And so we couldn't get an answer. Like, nobody knows where it is. So, I mean, that's a good excuse if it's an excuse or if it's a real reason. So if it's posted somewhere, then there's no excuse, right? There's no doubt.
May I respond, Nancy?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I like that thinking, and I want to say that you've made me think of something else. Everybody seems to be bringing my brain into action here tonight. Maybe this does need a bylaw, and forgive me, I don't have the bylaws in front of me. I'm on my phone, but maybe we do need something in the bylaws if it's not already there about that. You know, I guess this is not normally the subject of bylaws type stuff. Organizations maybe tend to do this on their own just as a management function or as a governance function, but maybe we need something in the bylaws that says we shall have an employee handbook, we shall have a policy handbook, we shall have whatever else it is that we need, a PNB policy handbook. So that's just another thought. Throw it out there.
And I think last year somebody on the governance committee sent us something of some kind of handbook about employees, was it? Or
I think that was an employee handbook.
Yeah, employee, yeah, I remember.
I think okay. I brought something like that forward last year. This is Beth. And uh-huh. And someone wanted to know, well, where did this come from? How do we know it's authentic? When was it updated? Was it ever approved? And I said, it's the most recent one we've got, and it had a date, and that was still not considered valid.
Yes, and where would we go to find that if we just had an idea, hey, we want to look at this, without having to suddenly have somebody send it around and then all of a sudden we're aware of it. Where is all this stuff together in one place so a new board member or just a new member or a member of the public can go and look and see what this organization is about and how it's organized? You know, we tout ourselves as having democratic governance. This would be part of actually making it so, you know, making it real. Make it so anybody can look at this stuff.
I'll put myself on a stack. I would like to have a resolution on procedure, where when the PNB passes something, and they're doing it every time they meet, that it goes not only in the minutes, but it goes in a separate list so that we can stop having all this work piling up to rake through all those minutes of the PNB to find the resolutions and list them. So I would like not to have to read the whole entire minutes to find out something that was passed and then put it in a separate list, like all those 7 years, over 7 years worth of PNB minutes that have not been, filtered through and listing. Somebody made a list of all the resolutions that were in them. Mr. Greg Guma, he did, and then Janet Coburn did, and Grace did just for short, two meetings, and I heard that she did another meeting recently. I have to go check where it is, but last year was not done, so we don't know what the PNB did. Only the PNB have it in their head. From now on, let's start. Let's have that lady that whatever her name is, Edane, the secretary, make a separate list for anything that y'all pass in the PNB. That way we can stop this piling up of work to do to go through it. I better make a motion for that. Okay, Nancy, I'm all right. Go ahead. Is that Alan? That would be just procedure, not a bylaw amendment or anything like that. And how many motions did y'all pass in the last meeting?
This does relate to bylaw amendments, Nancy, because it's, we've had bylaw amendments. Well, no, I guess it doesn't. I think they do keep up with the adding the bylaw amendments to the current copy of the bylaws.
I don't think so.
That's my.
Go ahead.
This is Beth to the stack.
Yes. Go ahead.
I came with a question. This is the question I brought. I'm bringing to the task force today. I wrote it down a while ago. It says, "Is there anyone updating the indexed bylaws page? And if so, who? And are they doing it regularly? And how recently was it done?"
Oh, mine has not changed since January of, 20, what year is that? What was the last time we did this?
When I first came onto the governance committee last year, the National Governance Committee, and started, picked up the work with the bylaws committee, I went to Grace and asked, because she was the one who knew more than anybody else I knew. I was looking for a copy of the bylaws that I could print out so I could have a hard copy. And she said, there is one, but it's not the most recent one, and that doesn't have all the, it's not current. It's missing a lot of updates. And the one most current one is that index, I want the option at least once a year to print out what's current. So that was current when I first started looking at it and using it a year and a half ago, but it's been a year and a half, and I don't know if anyone's updating that. I don't know. Unless there's some one person who has that responsibility, I'm guessing that it's not getting done. I would hope that people aren't just free to access it and change it willy-nilly without authorization, and therefore I would hope that some one person or a limited number of people, specifically designated people, would be given that task. So I don't know.
I'll ask Otis.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Brett. Finish.
No, that's everything. That's enough.
Okay, James. Okay, James.
I wanted to say that the last time that I'm aware that the last time the bylaws were changed by a vote of the PNB and the LSBs was when we changed the number of members it took to sign a petition to hold a bylaws referendum from 1% to 5%. And if you go on the website, if you find out if that's there or not, if it's there, that means the online website has been updated. If it's not there, it hasn't. And then the question would be, how many other times have, you know, what might seem in the rearview mirror, relatively minor changes in the bylaws, how many other times has that occurred and it hasn't been updated to the website, which is kind of what we're talking about. And, again, in that way, that kind of does relate to a policy handbook and listing all the resolutions of the PNB, because when you list all the resolutions of the PNB, you're going to see if 8 years ago there was a change to the bylaws that didn't make it onto the website somehow and is not there. So that relates it back to this committee, so that's good. we can go on talking about it.
Okay. Go ahead, Beth.
I'm not sure right where I would look in the bylaws to find that particular passage, but I am looking at Article 2, Offices of the Foundation, Section 1, Principal Office, which says, the principal office and place of business of the foundation shall be located in the county of Alameda.
There you go.
California. And that hasn't been true now for more than a year, probably going on 2 years.
Very good.
We need to. That's my simplest check. I know where to look, and it's two lines.
Bingo.
I would also suggest that it probably wouldn't be that hard to reconfigure this if you had the skills to do it. But just in terms of presentation configuration, right now the it's configured with type so small that most normal human beings couldn't read it. The really, really tiny print and extremely long lines. And that most people these days access reading online through their mobile devices, whether that's a tablet or a phone. And so best management practices for web design say you should at least make that an option, if not the default setting. And so we should have slightly larger print and shorter lines. The human eye has a hard time following more than about 60 characters of print in a line before the eye has a hard time following it. And so it wouldn't be as hard to read our own bylaws if we configured them to be more human readable. And it's probably just a matter of changing a couple of quick settings in the web page.
I think that we have been discussing this for an hour now, and that's about enough for one day. I think we all need to think about it some, exchange a few emails, and then we can come back to it later after we've all had more mature thoughts. We don't any of us want to see a thing as big as a dictionary that says this is our company procedures. Right. But we want to have something. We're going to have to figure out the happy medium. Along the way, I would like to ask that our secretary send us all a list of the names of the people who are on this committee and their e-addresses. I still don't know who we all are, and I would like to be able to address the whole committee sometimes, and I don't know how to. So I please ask the secretary, tell us, all of us, who we all are. Thank you.
Okay. Alan, I don't know which members are serious about being on the task force. I know Lawrence asked to bow out. And
Just give the whole membership, and they will identify themselves by which task forces they want to get on to
or
off of.
But I've been including on the two line of the email everybody that's on the governance committee, every one of their emails. And then I also added Janine Ron because she's the secretary of this task force. So if you look on the two line of the email I sent out, that's everybody on the governance committee plus Janine, the emails. And then
that's supposed to be 15 members, isn't it?
Yes, but Janine will make 16 because she's...
Okay, I tried copying from the two line, and I never got to 15, so I'll try it some more. Thank you.
Oh, but well, okay. I will check if I made a mistake. I don't think I'm going to speak. All right, and Eileen does not want to be on the task force, but she wants to know what we're doing, so I included her name, too, so she gets the mail. She sees it. And I think everybody, I don't know who is wanting to participate and who is, you know, just not saying, you know, so I just give it to everybody on the committee. But once we, you know, last time we met, I said, shall I, you know, invite all the board members of the five boards? And it was agreed, yes, that was good. But then Alan said he doesn't want a lot of people, like 27 people coming. I don't think that many people will show up. I don't really think so. But if there's somebody in there, even just one person that really is not on the governance committee but wants to be in this, I think I would like to have that person, you know.
Do you have my name?
Oh yeah, but you're here. Yeah, we know you're interested. But I mean, the other board members of the other that are not on the governance committee, we had discussed, you know, just inviting everybody. I said, yeah, I'll invite everybody. But then Alan said he didn't want everybody to come, a lot of people. So
yeah.
How did this group feel? Because I really did not send an invitation for everybody, but I'm willing to do it if there's support here.
Nancy?
Well, it's easy to ask somebody to take you off their list if you don't want to be getting those letters.
Oh, well, I mean inviting the other board members who are not members of the governance committee if they would like to join the task force. That's what I meant. So
yeah, well, if you ask somebody, they can say, no, I don't want to be in that task force. That's very little trouble.
Well, I don't want to pick and choose who to ask. I wanted to be fair and just offer it to the whole LSBs, five different LSBs. Is that still okay with everyone?
I find it very easy to click delete.
I think we should take Alan's suggestion on that and think about it. My mind drew a blank when you asked that question, but I want to also add that I counted the number of names on the on the address list on this, the email that notified us about this, and there are 16, including you, Nancy, but Beth is not on it.
Oh, thank you.
But, and Lawrence
That's
still is, of course. Once you take Lawrence off and add Beth, it'll still be 16.
Okay, all right.
So that's for you, Alan, just so you know how many are on it.
Okay, so Beth did not get an email, and she came
right.
Anyway. I've got to check. So you got a reminder from Otis, Beth?
No, this
I think
is an email that you sent. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
sorry.
Okay. I think I did get the reminder. The official KPFTX reminder came in the mail, and I guess that's where I must have seen it. I think I got a couple different things, but I know I didn't see the email that you're talking about with the 16 names at the in the heading. I haven't seen that.
Okay.
And my name's
not on it. Did not send it to you. I forgot. So that's my okay. Big mistake there. All right, go ahead, James.
No, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking me a question, and you were asking Beth, and she answered it.
I just
spoke too fast. Sorry.
Okay, so what did we do? Let me go back at my notes. What did we do tonight before everybody disperses? Oh, this is something else. Where is it?
I believe at the last meeting there was some discussion of wanting to clarify the rules for third-party fundraising. Am I missing the boat there, or is that something people want to talk about?
This is Beth. May I address
that? Go ahead, Beth. Yeah, go ahead, Beth.
Thank you, Alan, for bringing that up. I've been trying to carry that forward. It's passed our local KPFK Governance Committee twice and made it onto the agenda of the LSB twice. And the first time, we didn't get that far in the agenda, so it died. And so I brought it back again. And the next time, people said they wanted to wait and wait and bring it back later. Subsequent meeting, but I'm very much concerned that we're proceeding in ways that may not be entirely in compliance, and that before we proceed any further down that path, I think we have an obligation to get an accurate account of what we're doing and whether it's in compliance, and if there's anything we need to do to remedy the situation. And I've just been looking for the proper venue to carry it forward. I'm not content just to sit for another month or two or three while people cogitate. So I don't know that has to do with it has more to do with compliance with existing regulations than it does to do with changing bylaws. But I agree that it's an issue, and thank you for raising it, Alan. Thank you for not forgetting that. I'm really touched that you would bring that up. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Last year, KPFA made their fundraising goal, and I think it was $500,000, and they were allowing people to donate, and I don't remember the percentage. It's either like 1% or 10%. Anyway, a small percentage was going to the nonprofit of their choice, and on their website, they had in red ink, oodles of nonprofits. And so it was up for a short time, you know, after they made their goal, then all those red-inked nonprofits disappeared. But, wow, it was like giving them space on our website, on KPFA's website, and people liked it because they passed their goal, $500,000.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, there was – go ahead.
Well, it raises the issue of accounting. How was that documented in the financial books? And did those 1 or 2 or 10% amounts, were they successfully delivered to the promised recipients? And was that documented? And was it all documented in – it's not forbidden to do third-party fundraising like that, but there are very strict rules about – how you do it and when you do it and how much you do it and how you document it, how you account for it. And that's where I think we've just kind of plunged ahead and done it as, you know, people think it's a good idea, it might work, without ever checking to see what the rules are. So thank you for bringing that instance to my attention, Nancy. I had been unaware of that, but that's exactly the kind of thing the concern that raises exactly the concerns that prompted me to write my motion. We need is a policy manual on third party fundraising. Someday.
And I would like to say something else. We had at one time there was a what are those tests for breast cancer? I forgot what they're called. Very invasive.
Mammogram.
Mammogram. Okay. Yes, so there was a company that, you know, if we made up to $1,000, this company would give a free mammogram to a needy, you know, patient. We don't know who they picked and if it really happened, but every time we reached up to $1,000, then we would announce the Rose Clinic or whatever is going to give a needy woman a mammogram. And then the next 1,000, once we hit that, again, we would, and their name was being spoken many times on the air. And, you know, if we make our,
right,
and the next 1,000, then, so they're getting publicity. And,
yes.
And then the person who reaches up to the 1,000, they get a thank you from the Rose Clinic that we're, you know, you contributed in it with other people who contributed, and thank you, the Rose. So they got a way to tell our listeners, well, thank you. And so there's more publicity for them, I guess, contact information. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Or did we pass the thank you? I forgot. And then Bill Crozier, he was saying, now, if we do that again, you have to do in advance, you have to ask FCC, and it takes a time, like 2 or 3 weeks, to get their approval and application form for doing things like that, or for splitting the percentage. So maybe KPFA did it correctly through an application, but it cannot be done on the spur of the moment. Bill said it takes time.
Right.
So we got to find out what that is. And everybody, it should be a notebook for every board member, the bylaws, the standing rules of that LSB, and I'm sure they're all different. I'd love to see the other standing rules of the other station. And then, you know, things like that, GM description or job description, a PD job description, and then, oh, yeah, another, the property tax application, when was the last one, and the license renewal, and all kind of, you know, check dates, checklist. We should have, all I have is a notebook with the standing and the LSB and the bylaws, and it's 2016 January, my hard copy. Oh, yeah, and I did check on the index on the website, pacifica.org, the January 27th, 2020, raising the petition from, was it 1% to 5%? Was that right? Anyway, it's there with crossed out red ink and green ink. So that is there, but they just forgot to do it. So I have to ask Otis. I bet he does that. What do you think? He may know who does it because he's handling that website. So, yeah.
That's a good guess. Let's ask. It doesn't cost anything to ask.
Yeah, and he was saying thank you for any kind of notes. Sometimes I ask him to do something and he doesn't do it, so I take a picture and I circle it with a red mark. I say, Otis, can you please, you know, write this down on the kpfdx.org, and then he does it for me. For some reason, when I want to post a meeting, it won't accept me. And Otis has tried giving me another email or another password, and it still won't accept me. And with the old phone, it did, but not with this new phone. So I don't know what's happened. But anyway, there. Okay, we've gone to what, 8:46, is it? 8:46. So for this group, there were more Wednesdays than there were Fridays. James and I are either way, Friday or Wednesday. And so, anyway, the next Wednesday will be next week, and we'll meet again. And I'll try to get these minutes out. And love to hear what other ideas are in your head for us. And could we sort of have a little homework on the minutes after I send them to you, what you want to work on? Like Beth said, let's see, something about... Well, anyway, you can pick your. I don't want to assign homework. Let everybody do what they want to do.
Okay. Nancy, this is James.
Yes, James.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, you know, we had talked about the first Wednesday, so I guess next Wednesday is the first Wednesday. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and so we're not going to meet every week, right, because that's where it would start to bump into my LSB and my local finance committees.
No, we cannot. There's no space.
Okay. Understood. And then just one other thing I wanted to mention, and that is if you go to KPFTX and you get to the public-facing list that has the green motif with the olive branch at the top, and you click, look around, and you'll find it, I think it's in the right-hand corner, calendar view. And if you click on calendar view, you go to the calendar view. And then when you're on the calendar view, there's a, I think it's down at the bottom left-hand corner, there's something that says meeting list. And it doesn't take you back to that public-facing Olive Branch list. It takes you to a different page, a third page, which is the meeting list page. And if you look on the right-hand side, it gives you the members of the committee. And Otis has 18 members of the task force up on that page. It just so happens that the task force is at the top, I guess maybe because we're meeting tonight or maybe because it was the last one done. I'm not sure why. But it shows 18, which includes Beth, and it still includes Lawrence. But it must have a couple more that you didn't have in your email list.
Yeah. Okay.
Does everybody understand? Alan, yes, were you able to follow what I was describing and how to get that?
Yes. It's got Ted Weisgall in there, too.
It does, yes.
He wanted to be on the task force. But since this was put up, I think Janine told Otis these names. And since that happened, Reyes said last Saturday, was it? Or Sunday, that he wanted out.
Is Alan still on the call?
Alan?
Is Alan? I'm still here.
Oh, hi, Alan. I just wanted to know if you were able to follow what I was saying about where to go to find the membership of the committees.
I think I understood it.
Very good.
But I'll go look for it.
That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
And who's responsible for putting that list there?
That's Otis McClay. He's the one who created KPFTX and he maintains it. He's also a CPB compliance officer for Corporation for Public Broadcasting compliance.
Thank you. I'm glad to know that.
Okay.
And I sent an email tonight to everybody on the governance committee that our text circle, we're going to not use it anymore, and I'm making a brand new text circle because Otis gave me the telephone number of Sharon Adams and the name Daniel Borgstrom. So it was showing Daniel Borgstrom, and he was calling Vanessa Dixon Briggs something. Anyway, it was the wrong number. So that was not Daniel speaking in that text circle. It was Sharon. And Sharon exploded and said, "Get me off this list."
That was not your fault either, so.
Yeah. So I don't know how that happened, whether it was Carol, the secretary, sending it to Nancy Sorden was secretary at first, and then it went to Paulina, and then Paulina's supposed to send to Otis, or one of those people there in transit got mixed up.
Transcription error, no problem.
And before I leave, I just want to say something because I'll probably forget it. I've seen it so many times, but the affiliates, they have used the same kind of olive leaf logo that Pacifica does. And to me, this is very worrisome because on the affiliate's website, they're asking for money. And it says Pacifica Network. And people could get, confused and donate money to the affiliates and thinking they're donating to Pacifica. So I really don't like the same identical logo of the affiliates using and that Pacifica's using. They should have something different, not the same logo, the olive leaf,
Nancy?
We could be, yes?
Of course, that the Pacifica Affiliates Network, PAN or PAN, is now an official unit of Pacifica. And I believe when they're raising that money, they're not raising it for the stations. I could be wrong, but I know this issue came up. And I think the explanation was that they're not using it to raise money for the individual stations that make up the affiliates that we don't own. They're making the contributions they're seeking are for the Pacifica Affiliates Network or PAN unit of Pacifica. And that's for them to do the work that they do. For example, they maintain a computer, a server that allows the affiliate stations to access our programming. and they use the money for that and their salaries and whatever else they spend money on. I think that's the story. So just ask, as you inquire, ask about that.
Yes, I don't mind if people know that they're donating to the affiliates or they're donating to Pacifica, but the way it looks, I don't think people can understand because it says Pacifica Radio, it says Pacifica Foundation, and then it says donate, and then you don't know who you're donating to. I mean, I can see people thinking, oh, I'm donating to Pacifica, and actually it's going to the affiliates.
Well, that's what I was saying. I think they are donating to Pacifica. They're donating to the Pacifica Affiliates Network, which is a unit of Pacifica. That's how we distribute our programs to the affiliates.
Yes, I know, but I just, does the listener, I mean, does the person who's donating know for sure where their money is going? And does the
I understand, but if that's not clear, it should be. I agree.
Yes, because same logo, same olive leaf. Okay.
Well, that's because they are Pacifica. So yeah, but I get it.
Yeah, I know.
They should make it clear that this donation is just going to the PAN. It's not going to Pacifica writ large. I get it. So
yeah,
there should be an explanation to that there.
Yeah,
somewhere.
It should be.
It's clear.
Yeah. I'm worried that people may be donating to. They think they're donating to Pacifica, but it's going to the affiliates. And I know the affiliates need to be supported, too. But I don't like that, where they seem to be getting both, you know. Donations.
I understand.
Okay.
Well, again, I'll just say one more time. Pacifica Affiliates Network is Pacifica. It's a unit. They have a budget. They have employees that are Pacifica employees. It's just, you're right. It should be clear that if they're asking for a donation, it's going to that unit of Pacifica, just like if it was going to WBAI or PFW or the national office.
Yes.
It should be clear where it's going. I get it.
Yes, yes. That's why I was and what bothers me is, long time ago, Maxie Jackson said in a PMV meeting that he was thinking there's something dangerous to join at the hip, and so he was not willing to make the Pacifica Affiliates a unit. And then he left, and then all of a sudden we voted on it last year. Ursula came to visit us at the governance committee, and anyway, just sort of stuck in my head. Okay.
Just to clarify a little bit on that, Nancy, I think there was a fear that if the I think there was a fear at that time that if the affiliates became an official quote-unquote unit of Pacifica, that they would then be asking for more representation or for representation at all on the PNB. And that wasn't the case. They just wanted to be recognized as a budgeted unit. They're actually now generating an excess of their operating funds, and they're lending to KPFK, and they've lent to WBAI at least once to help make up for shortfalls. So it was considered at that point that since they're lending the rest of the network money, we should give them the honor. It's just an honorary title of being a unit. They didn't get any PNB representation, which was what some were concerned about.
Well, I don't mind that they're lending money. I know they are, but they get paid back that money. And yes, and if that money was given to thinking that they were donating to Pacifica, but it went to the affiliates, and
correct,
then the affiliates
I get it.
Lending
yeah.
to Pacifica, then Pacifica is giving back their own money back to the affiliates.
I understand. I agree with you on that. All right,
okay.
But I think we should not tire everybody out with this, because
yes.
I'm not sure that
yes.
relates to our mission on the amendments committee.
Okay.
I think you were headed towards adjourning us, and that would be probably good for us.
Let's adjourn, and we'll meet Wednesday.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you, Beth.
Thank you, Alan.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.